A Road to Romance. Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1. 1820. The Marquis of Wissingford turned into St. James's Street and walked into White's Club. Having nodded to the porter, he then went into the coffee room. As expected, he saw his friend who he was having luncheon with waiting for him. Lord Alfred Middleton and the Marquis had been at Eton and Oxford together. They were now enjoying the London season and met almost every night at some party or other. Last night, the Marquis had been dancing with an extremely pretty girl who Lord Alfred had not seen before. So he greeted his friend when he joined him, saying, "Did she, or did she not?" "She did not, purely because I did not ask her," the Marquis replied, and they both laughed. The Marquis ordered some coffee, and Lord Alfred raised his eyebrows. "Since when," he asked, "have you been drinking coffee before luncheon?" "Well, as a matter of fact, I did not think the champagne last night was particularly good," the Marquis replied, "and the port they provided, I'm certain, was corked." "Oh, I never touch port," Lord Alfred said, "so I don't know."
"I don't often either, but I was really rather bored."
Lord Alfred sighed.
"I can understand that. We have been to at least 10 parties that were exactly the same as the one last night, with more or less the same people. But I thought that the woman you were dancing with was superior to the others.
She is married to a diplomat, and therefore has a French chic about her, because they are habitually in Paris," the Marquis answered. "At the same time, she made it very clear to me that she was never unfaithful to her husband." Lord Alfred laughed.
"So, a wasted evening."
"It was not just a waste from that point of view, but altogether the season is becoming duller and duller, or perhaps it's because we are getting older and older."
"I think that is the real reason," Lord Alfred agreed. "We are nearing 26. And as you know, most of the young gentlemen enjoying themselves last night had only just left Oxford and not reached their 22nd or 23rd birthday."
He paused, and the Marquis interrupted. "In another few years they too will be like us, bored with doing the same thing over and over again." As he was speaking with undisguised vehemence, Lord Alfred stared at him.
"Is it really as bad as all that?" he asked. "Well, ask yourself, Alfred. I must say I have found not only the beau monde a bore, but also the pretty soiled doves are not as amusing as I used to think they were."
Lord Alfred sighed. He knew the Marquis was referring to the houses of pleasure, which were situated around St. James's Street. It was where they often went when they were bored with the social world, and they usually found a number of their friends doing the same thing. There was silence for a moment. Then the Marquis quizzed his friend.
"What can we do, Alfred, which is new and original, and where we can find someone attractive to do it with us?"
Lord Alfred joked. "You can hardly take a soiled dove with you to a private ball, or for that matter anywhere except where they officially belong."
I know, the Marquis groaned. "But you do see that we are caught in a cage that we cannot possibly escape from."
"What do you mean by that?" Lord Alfred asked.
"Well, the first thing is we are matrimonial catches, and are watched by every ambitious mamma, as well as the debutantes of the year themselves."
"I'm aware of that, Neil, but I can assure you that I avoid that sort of debutante. I was so nearly caught the first year after I left Oxford." The Marquis nodded. "As you can imagine, I was walking with caution even then. I was nearly trapped, not once, but several times."
"Oh, I remember that," Lord Alfred said. "You almost had to marry the Heathcote girl. Oh, there were even bets here at White's that you would be married before the year was out."
"Oh, we have both been very clever. We have avoided the more obvious traps. At the same time, I am beginning to become extremely bored."
"Do you really mean that?"
Lord Alfred asked. There was a pause before the Marquis said,
"I suppose that we could go round the world, but it would be much the same when we came back. I have now been extremely suspicious of every invitation I receive."